So that's about it for my little announcements. I've got some announcements here that have been given in churches. I don't know if you've heard these. The fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Have you heard these? No? Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility. It's probably one of those autocorrects. You know. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double doors at the side entrance. The Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. These are actual. Oh dear. Irving and Jesse Carter were married on October 24 in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. It's the English language, isn't it? Well, better start a message quick, smart. But we've already had wonderful messages. Thank you so much. So today we are celebrating a birthday of the church, and when we celebrate a birthday, we usually receive a gift. And, you know, you see children, they really look forward to opening that gift. And we have ourselves received a very precious gift. And that is access to and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, both individually and corporately. So let's unwrap our little gift today. I don't know how much we can unwrap it because it's a huge topic, but if we can just introduce it even. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as He. We used to think it was some kind of force or power. But we have God the Father, God Jesus the Son, and this is through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's much more than just a power. We have fellowship through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." And that actually was his parting gift because he was preparing to leave the disciples. But he said, "I will give you another," and that was the helper, the comforter, that he may abide with you. So the Holy Spirit abides with us, and that's a beautiful thing. The abiding means to be present with or being at our side. We have a helper at our side. Is that the most precious gift that anyone you could give anyone? A comforter and a helper? It's about relationships and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the true vine. John 15 says, "Abide in me and I in you." To bear fruit, we need to be attached to the vine, because the Holy Spirit talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But again, that's why we are abiding and being attached to Jesus Christ, the vine. I used to think that surrender, if I surrender my life, that's sufficient. But I heard a message once and it said, "He wants more." And I said, "What more is there than surrender?" He wants communion, fellowship and walking together and abiding together. That's what God wants of us. And that's true of a little child, isn't it? You don't want a child just to obey you. You want to abide with them. You want to commune with them. You want that relationship. So we had the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:2 it said, "And suddenly there came a sound like a rush of violent wind, divided tongues as of fire appearing among them." So we see at Mount Sinai when the law was given, and there was also wind and lightning, and it said that God descended in fire as well. But the tablets of stone, the law written on tablets of stone, works from the outside in. But the Holy Spirit, which was given, works on our heart from the inside out. And it's about relationship and communion on the inner life. And we see the law of Christ, which is the law of love. And that is the underpinning of the church. The law of love is the underpinning. And if you heard the message last night at the royal wedding, it was an amazing message about love. being the underpinning of marriage and everything. We know that we have the royal wedding to look forward to. You know, even if we didn't get an invite yesterday, we have a wonderful royal wedding and marriage that we yearn for. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. It is a very, very, pictures the most loving and intimate relationship that he wants to have with us. And he said, I will remove your heart of stone and put a heart of flesh. Flesh is soft. Stone is hard and cold. And of course, flesh, that is the heart of Jesus, the Jesus Christ that we can have in us. So there are so many gifts of the Holy Spirit and so much we could unwrap. But let's just focus on the gift of love. In 2 Timothy 1:7, when Paul was talking to Timothy, Timothy was a very young and timid minister and, you know, he's had to face a lot of persecution and trials. So Paul is writing to Timothy and encouraging him. And he said, you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. We have the spirit of love. Power without love is deadly. And millions have died from abusive power. You think of all the regimes over centuries, the Pol Pot regime, and you just cannot name them all, but where millions have been killed because of abuse of power. And sometimes we can be fearful of power because of the abuse of it. But there is great power in love. There is great power in gentleness. It takes the Holy Spirit to be this way. It's very easy to misuse power and, you know, become angry and fly off the handle. But there's great power in the way Jesus Christ and in his love. And it takes the Holy Spirit to be this way. The flesh has to be crucified with Christ daily. It's a daily walk, isn't it? You know, Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. And you think, why did he say that? Because he's realistic about that flesh and how every day it's a daily walk and that daily renewal. Some people talk about revival. Well, I think a better term is renewal. But we need every day to be renewed so that we can walk in the Spirit. It is a walk in the Spirit. And the anger and bitterness and grudges are to be crucified with Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That anger and bitterness and grudges. Christ had showed the nails, you know, his hands where the nails had been crucified. And we are to be crucified with him in that way. In John McLean's recent letter, Pentecost letter, which I think we would have received, he talks about, in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And again, saying that, you know, so often we apply that, the love chapter, to weddings and ceremonies and things like that, and which is wonderful. It's very applicable. But it was actually meant for the body of Christ. Chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians speaks to the body of Christ, and it says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts. Yet I will show you still more an excellent way that is by far the highest of all. And of course, that is love. Jesus modeled this for us. And as Phil said, he talks about greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And he said, you are my friends. That's that communion, isn't it? And Jesus was saying that right before his crucifixion. That is the most painful form of punishment there is. There is no more, well, I suppose it could be, but it is one of the most painful forms of punishment that Christ took that on in love. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says, even if I burn my body but have not love, I am nothing. We can be spiritually bankrupt without love. Also, in Galatians, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the first one is love. It starts with love. Yeah, there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, and love is the first one. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And it's beautiful to read that in, I won't take the time now, but reading that in the Message. It's very, it's lovely. So I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 13 because I feel like sometimes it's just really nice just to read scripture and just let it sink in. So I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians 13 and let's just think about how that applies to us as the body of Christ. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, or if I get all the doctrines right, or if I have all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm still nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Then it goes on to say what love is. Love is patient. Or we could put there, God is patient. Or Jesus Christ is patient. Or the Holy Spirit is patient. And by us abiding in him, then that is how we can bear those fruits as well. By abiding in the God who is patient and abiding in the Spirit. So love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. In other words, it does all it can to honour others. We try to honour and love and bless each other. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And, you know, as I was working on this message, my daughter Billy keeps coming up to me and I'm thinking, oh, please, I just need time. And then it says, love is patient. I said, yes, thank you, Lord. You know, he reminds us, he walks with us, you know, and that's the Holy Spirit prompts us and walks with us and helps us to be patient. We have to ask for that help. It keeps no record of wrongs. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing because there's so many times that we want to keep grudges. And there's so many cultures that keep grudges. And, you know, New Guinea, you got grudges from village to village that carry on for how many generations. And I remember when Bill was up there one time and you were going driving through some villages and they were throwing rocks at each other, you know, just taking back, trying to get revenge. So Bill said, if I wave at them and then they drop the rocks while they're waving. So, but, you know, it's sad, isn't it? Because we carry, naturally, humanly, we carry grudges. And Scripture says, you know, above all things, do not allow a root of bitterness. And if we carry grudges, that root of bitterness can defile us and can be a hindrance to walking in love. So we really need to ask God to help us and process those things. Sometimes it's a process. But don't be afraid to process that, because it can hold us back. Holding grudges can be a hindrance. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It has a joy, it has an energy. The Holy Spirit, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit from the word dunamos, which is like dynamo, which is energy and enthusiasm. And it says, you know, we can grow weary in well-doing humanly, but the Holy Spirit keeps that energy going. And that's why many of you are still here today, faithful, because the Holy Spirit just keeps you energized, and it's a wonderful thing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices, and there's a rejoicing. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. And, you know, that's really telling us just to be very humble and to be very reverent of the word, because at the end of the day, we only know in part. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. You know, that is what we look forward to, isn't it? The royal wedding, the true royal wedding when Christ returns. That is our hope and the glory that we have to look forward to. But now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So there are many things that are not worth allowing to split or divide. You know, there's so many similarities that we have that we can rejoice in, and we have that hope to look forward to together. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So thank you very much. And I'd like to introduce Al to come up for the communion as we now have communion with him. So thank you all, and thank you for the beautiful special music and the music and for hosting us today. Thank you.